This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by our friends over at You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
Yeah, this is kind of a crazy story. Crazy story with potentially a good ending. We'll see. Because a woman in Pasco lied about her kid being almost taken from the local Walmart, and now she faces charges for the lie. She posted the claim online. It went viral, as these things tend to do. And as KPR notes, it kind of sparked a whole bunch of panic and fears about a possible child theft ring impacting the community.
Because you never know, like, it may not be true, but you still gotta be cautious of your surroundings, yeah, especially when you're with your family.
So the post that was spread on, I believe it was on Facebook, claimed a whole bunch of dudes were smiling and signaling at her young daughter to come over to them, presumably for abduction, but they didn't. And then as a result, she claimed they followed her around the store. And so obviously, when cops find out about something like this, they take it very seriously. So they decided to look at the security footage because they wanted to go after these degenerates, except it never happened.
No, the video shows her actually going through the checkout. She went as much as saying, well, she may have embellished a lot.
Yeah, that's Sergeant Scott Warren talking with KEPR-TV. He's from the Pasco Police Department.
All the information wasn't true, and, yeah, and you're creating a paranoia out there. He didn't follow her through the store. He didn't do any of what she said. It's crying wolf.
Now, you know, these types of stories, especially in smaller communities like Pasco, they have the tendency to spread. So before you know it, this one small post gets picked up by a whole bunch of people. Then parents in Richland freak out. Kennewick starts to freak out. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of taken over this entire area. You go down over to Grandview, they're saying, oh, did you hear what happened over in Pasco, like in Prosser? Like, these are the kinds of things that cut through. And the cops ended up spending 2 days investigating this. The woman claimed she contacted police in this post, but police said she never actually did. And now, as a result, she faces charges.
It could be a misdemeanor all the way to a Class A felony.
I say make an example of her. Now, I don't know why she decided to do this. I suppose there's the potential of not just wanting to start a panic in the region. Maybe she's saying, you know what? I want to do this as a reminder for adults, parents, grandparents, to pay really close attention when they're hanging out with their kids in public, because there are bad, nefarious elements out there and we don't want something bad to happen. That would be my defense. It's kind of indefensible, but at least you don't become the crazy villain. Because right now I look at a story like this and you're a villain. Did you do this just because you wanted these comments, this story to go viral? Is it because you wanted more likes and follows? Which, by the way, I do kind of understand, because I, you know, I want more people to follow me on Facebook. Should I do it?
Probably not.
But, well, like, I could make up a story, and, like, you know how good I am at creative stuff.
I mean, you wanna keep your credibility, so let's...
I mean, do I? Credibility versus maybe getting into the 20,000 mark on Twitter?
No.
What about one small fib?
Here, do it for me, and don't. For me. That's all I'm asking.
You know, sometimes you guys are just no fun. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
A 58-year-old woman broke her leg while hiking with her dog in the Cascades. She was missing for 2 full days alone in the woods, and she managed to survive. However, she got hungry and the dog did not. I'm kidding! That's just, the dog is fine. The funny thing is, when I see stories like this, I weirdly care more about the animal than I do about the person. And I maybe it's because I just generally don't. I'm sure this woman's delightful. I just like animals, and I particularly like dogs. And there's something about this, which is weird, because I assume the dog is probably better equipped to survive in the wilderness, even if it's a domesticated animal, than the older woman with the broken leg. Because she's 58 years old.
Without a doubt, that dog was going to survive no matter what.
Apparently, the dog was super protective of this woman. So Como TV says a hiker came came across the woman along the Ashland Lake Trail, then drove her to a nearby ranger station. They called 911. The weather that was happening managed to prevent the helicopter rescue from actually taking place. So volunteers with Snohomish County Volunteer Search and Rescue, they hiked up the trail, they found her, and then they brought her back down. It happened all around midnight, so they were busting butts to get up there. Rescuers had some challenges treating the woman because the dog became so protective, but then they say rescuers were able to make a homemade harness and muzzle and got the dog to walk out with them. So, you know, good looking for that. Good for that dog. Here's what I would do if I was this woman, because I also have many thoughts here, but just one real quick thing. Perhaps she's listening, and if you are, I would love to do an interview with you, and we can talk about your story, and maybe I can give this to you in person. But you know how Hollywood loves making movies about animals, especially animals that defeat all odds?
Yeah.
And it has a good, happy ending? She should just make up a whole bunch of stuff, like a bear or a cougar or something was out there trying to eat her, but this little dog, which they don't even say what it is, in my head I'm just going to go with Chihuahua, because then it's just kind of adorable on top of it all, and that's really beating the odds. The Chihuahua was massive and got mad and scared the bear and stuff away. And, you know, the bear got one little nibble, but barely any, just a little bit of the tail. And so she kind of lost the tail, but it's kind of makes the dog even more adorable. It's one of those dogs that are so ugly and they win in the contest, like the tongue's hanging out and it can't fit back in the mouth. I think that's a blockbuster film.
It's back-to-back stories that you wanted to fib the truth on.
That's could have been my story.
I think that you need to see somebody about this, because if this...
Yes, I've got mental issues.
If this continues, this could get bad.
It's not going to stop. When I saw this story, outside of caring deeply about the dog, I also want to be honest about another thought that came through my head. Thoughts that maybe I shouldn't put out there, because I don't want to make light of the situation. It's obviously serious and important, and we don't want this to happen to anyone, but... Is it easier to survive overnight in the woods alone with a broken leg than we all think? Because my assumption is, if this ever were to happen to me, and of course it wouldn't, because I'm not going on a hike, I'm not an animal, I would probably die the first night. I would just give up. The second that my phone goes dead, and I no longer have access to stream Netflix or Hulu or tweet my location and whatnot, I would just give up. I would roll to the nearest hilltop or whatever, like ridge, and just roll off and down into the mountains and just die.
I like that Netflix and Hulu were on your priorities list before tweeting out your location.
Well, the problem is, I'm assuming that you're not getting good reception, but on Netflix and Hulu, you can download the files to your phone so you don't need access to the internet or data. So that would be the first thing. I mean, yes, at some point I would do an Instagram story. I wouldn't tweet it out because there's probably really good visuals of me being stuck there. But it just seems weird that this woman was able to survive, yet we say that this is very dangerous. And again, I'm assuming it's dangerous. I would be dead in a night, like in a few hours, and yet 58-year-old, she managed to survive the entire time. So good for her. She's got spirit. She's got, or spunk, or determination. She got something. Right? Yeah. Or maybe it's really easy to survive, and everyone is all like, oh, we got stuck. They're just lying.
I really want to see how much longer you'd go with, you know, adjectives that to describe her.
Oh, I'm a walking thesaurus.
You're a dinosaur?
I'll give you that one. Okay, you get kudos. You got that one. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter. If you want to see some video of me on Fox News, I've got it posted on Twitter. I've got a clip posted there. Twitter.com/JasonRants. Or to make it even easier, not just to follow me, but Saul Spady, Ben Shapiro, Michael Medved, text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. Text Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The environment.
This week, we're seeing a whole bunch of calls for climate action, both locally and nationwide. Earlier today, teen climate activist Greta Thunberg testified in front of Congress. But while she's the media darling, there was someone way more substantive there at the hearing. My friend Benji Backer, president of the American Conservation Coalition, a conservative global climate change organization. Benji, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, good afternoon, man.
So what was your message today in front of Congress?
My message to Congress today was that climate change should be bipartisan. It should be focused on actually reducing emissions. It should be focused on innovation and technology. It should be focused about economic and environmental success at the same time. All of those things were cornerstones in my presentation this morning with three other climate activists from around the country. I was the Republican witness on the panel, and you're right. I mean, the media is going crazy over Greta's presentation, but there were three other, you know, people there spreading their voices on this issue, which it should be bipartisan, and we should have as many voices as we can at the table. And I think that what's getting overshadowed is the fact that this morning was historic. You had Republicans and Democrats sitting together talking about how and why we need to do something about climate change. Hopefully that doesn't continue to go unnoticed, but I thought it was a very fantastic next step. Even if it isn't getting the attention it deserves.
Well, so let's separate out the attention from the left versus the attention from the media. First, were the Democrats receptive to the message that you were sending?
They were actually incredibly receptive. Congressman Meeks, actually a Democrat, was incredibly complimentary of my message and my approach. You had Representative Castor and a bunch of other Democrats asking me questions in a very, you know, approachable way, just genuine questions. And I thought that the Democrats were actually very receptive. You actually had Ilhan Omar, who came up to me afterwards and thanked me for my voice. So the Democrats in the hearing were very appreciative, as well as the Republicans. I can't say it's been the same afterwards, but during the hearing, when you're face-to-face, it's amazing how much you can actually talk and get things done.
Well, it's interesting because even if Ilhan Omar goes ahead and says, thank you for your voice, she's someone who's been pushing very, very fringe positions associated with the Green New Deal. So where is there a disconnect?
Yeah, so I think what it comes down to, there's two parts of this conversation. There's first just sitting down and having a conversation about climate change across party lines and understanding that most people want to reduce emissions, want to help the environment, and want to be good stewards of our natural world. And I think that that conversation actually has to start first, which I think was why today was important, because, you know, Ilhan Omar and I disagree on the ways to get to certain areas, but we don't disagree that there's a problem, and we don't disagree that the environment matters. And I actually think that we, before today, and in a lot of cases, we're not even to that point of realizing that. So I think that that's the first importance. And then, you know, we do disagree very heavily on policy. But I think that having respect for one another, which I believe she has respect for me after today, or at least I hope she does, then you can actually have a conversation about policy. And, you know, maybe we're on complete opposite sides of the spectrum, but at least we can have a dialogue. And I think that that's the problem with Congress, is there's such little room for dialogue because people just think that the other side is the enemy. They don't just think that there's a difference in the approach. They think there's a complete difference in morals and values.
Well, I mean, it also helps with Ilhan Omar that you're not Jewish. That probably I'm kidding. Well, I'm not really kidding. How do you feel about the media and how they're treating this message? Because, you know, there, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, the New York Times had a really good write-up with you included. But I'm not really seeing you get picked up by MSNBC or CNN.
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising. I was thinking that this could be an opportunity for the mainstream media to say, hey, you know, we have been major advocates for climate change, and we know that we need to have both sides of the table to reduce emissions and fix and help fix the problem of climate change. There has been zero to little mention of me as a conservative on the panel, and actually there has been numerous times where I've been completely cut out of the conversation, and I mentioned all three and not myself, which, you know, it's not about, it shouldn't be about politics for the media, nor should it be for the members of Congress there, or really anybody. I mean, this is a transformative conversation that we had this morning. It was uplifting. It was exciting. It was a message that most Americans don't get to hear. And it just doesn't run as well on the clickbait articles as, you know, Greta was really the only one there, if you look at the media. Mm-hmm. And Greta plays an important role in global climate conversations, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other voices that deserve to be heard. And I think that the media, unless something changes very quickly here, has once again kind of unfortunately ignored that reality.
Well, we're happy to highlight the work that you're doing and the work that the American Conservation Coalition is doing. To learn more about this really, really good organization that you should be getting behind, head on over to acc.eco, acc.eco. We've been talking with their president and founder, Benji Backer. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Hey, great to be on with you. Thanks for giving me the platform.
Absolutely. Even if CNN's not going to, you don't need no stinking CNN. You've got me. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
So the Tacoma City Council has taken action against violence, gun violence, by passing a symbolic resolution that doesn't take action against gun violence. Yeah, they're taking action by doing something symbolic that doesn't actually mean anything. Last night, they voted in favor of that ceasefire proclamation that we talked about. This comes after that weekend march calling out gun violence that was happening in their community. Mayor Victoria Waters said this.
I wanted a roll call vote because I wanted you to hear the commitment of every single council member. This proclamation passes.
Now, I have to assume that there was every single council member on board before this trying to fight back against what is driven in large part by gang violence that's happening in Tacoma. Not exclusively gang violence, but there's certainly aspects of that at play at some of these stats. So what changed now? All of a sudden you pass this symbolic resolution. Unless you go ahead and attack the root causes of what's behind the gang violence, you're not going to see any results. Now, the good news is a lot of people from the community showed up to this council meeting yesterday and they spoke with some good ideas.
Please, out of all of this, respect for everybody. Let's come up with some solution to get the kids off the street at nighttime.
Get the kids off the street, right? When kids don't have something to do, kids will do bad things. And sometimes it starts with something very small, and then it can get really, really bad. When you've got kids who don't necessarily have a strong family structure, especially if they don't have places to go, things to do, people to support them, they end up going down the wrong path. And so a family first approach to this is incredibly important, which was the point of one other speaker.
My God, yes, is telling me that we can heal. That means we got to begin to talk to our neighbors. Their safety is our safety. And it also starts in the home.
Yes, it does. Oh, I love that. Get more active in your communities. God bless this woman for discussing faith and family, because when you handle those two issues, you will address a huge part of the problem. And this is not something just for Tacoma. There are instances of gang violence plaguing communities in Washington State, whether it's Tacoma or Burien or parts of Bellevue, every single community. And it's not even just gang violence, it's just criminality in general. When you have a strong family structure, whatever that means to you, when you have a strong family structure, the kids tend to do well. Yes, there are certainly examples of weak family structures where kids do well and strong family structures where kids do poorly. But on average, the data suggests when you have parents who give a damn about their kids, or grandparents or guardians who are active in the lives of children, they do better in school. When they do better in school, it means they do better in their personal life, which means they do better as adults. When you keep them on that path, they don't turn to gang violence. Gangs prey on children and teenagers who don't have something in their life to give them the support they need, because they're not having a strong father figure in their life or a strong mother figure in their life. And so they need someone to look out for them. And all of a sudden, some gangbanger decides to recognize that kid who doesn't have a strong family structure, and they provide it for them, and then they exploit them. Then they have them do awful things, and then they are entrenched in this culture that leads to destruction and death in communities. When you have a strong family, this tends not to happen. And when you have a strong sense of faith, this tends not to happen. According to the Tacoma News Tribune, 18 murders in the first 8 months of 2019. That matches the murder count for all of last year. This is not acceptable in Tacoma. It's not acceptable anywhere. I love that message. Family, faith. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. It's the Jason Rant Show. To the Jason Rant Show live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for tuning in and telling all your friends. Thank you so much for following me on Fox News earlier today. I was there talking about the Corey Lewandowski hearings yesterday that were a total disaster for the Democrats because they had hoped to get Corey Lewandowski to say something they could use in their efforts to impeach President Trump, but he was there ready to troll each and every one of them because he pulled out every trick imaginable. And right from the start, when Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the committee, right from the start, when he started to ask questions, it derailed so badly.
My colleagues are going to get into the specific events in detail, but I'm especially troubled by the president's attempt to obstruct Congress's investigation.
So troubled, by the way, he had to have a staff member write that script for him to read from. So troubled, he had to have somebody else write down his words, including this.
And prevent the American people from learning the truth about what he's done. And I want to ask you questions relevant to that issue.
That part couldn't ad-lib that part. And now I would like to ask you certain questions as it relates to my opening statement. You could have just said the question. You didn't have to introduce the question. And you don't have to script absolutely everything. What happens when you script something like this, literally every moment of everything that comes out of your mouth, the second that the person you're talking to goes away from that script because they can generally anticipate where you're trying to go, you're kind of screwed. Oh, and that's what it sounded like.
Ms. Lewandowski, is it correct that as reported in the Mueller report on June 19th, 2017, you met alone in the Oval Office with the president? I said,
Is there a book and page number you can reference me to, please? I don't have a copy of the report in front of me.
Volume 2, page 90. But I simply ask you, is it correct that as reported in the Mueller report on June 19th, 2017, you met alone in the Oval Office with the president?
Could you read the exact language of the report, sir? I don't have it available to me.
I don't think I need to do that, and I have limited time. Did you meet alone with the president?
By the way, he knows you have limited time, and that's why he's doing this. He's eating into your 5 minutes.
On that date.
Congressman, I'd like you to refresh my memory by providing a copy of the report so I can follow along.
Paid. You don't have a copy with you?
I don't have a copy of the report, Congressman.
It goes on and on and on, just like this. I am kind of envious, in a way, of Corey Lewandowski, because I want to do this. I think I would be so good at just talking without saying anything. I am a professional communicator who can very clearly spell out my point for you, but also talk and talk and talk and waste time and not give you anything. And that's why it baffles the mind why people like Steve Cohen, a Batman villain who moonlights as a congressman from Tennessee, he was on with CNN complaining that they didn't cover the entirety of the Lewandowski hearing.
I do think the media should have covered it. And of course, as it turned out, it showed the fact that he thought lying to the media was not consequential. And he did it all the time. Brianna, I'm not going to want to get into it because you're my friend and I like CNN. But the fact is, if that's the case, then Barry Burke doesn't have to be first. Being last and getting repeated on the news for the last 18 hours worked just as effectively.
Except it's just ridiculous. If more people saw this, they would have been embarrassed for the Democrats who blew any chance they had at getting Corey Lewandowski, who's not the sharpest person in the world. He's not this top political strategist or top political mind. He's very smart. They're just really, really bad. And that was the topic that I talked about this morning on Outnumbered Overtime with Harris Faulkner.
Let's bring in Jason Rant, radio talk show host for KTTH in Seattle, Washington. Jason, good to see you today. So first of
good to see you.
From just looking at it as pure information yesterday, were the Democrats able to move the needle and get more support, even within their own ranks, for impeachment?
I don't think so. I think it was a total disaster. If at the end of the day, you were supposed to get public opinion on your side, understanding that for the most part, people aren't watching much of what ended up happening, right? The average person isn't sitting down for hours and hours. They're getting these little sound bites here and there. And they didn't really have a sound bite. The Democrats tried really, really desperately to get Lewandowski to read from the Mueller report, which was the same failed strategy against Bob Mueller. He refused to do it. So they didn't really have anything beyond a bunch of Democrats who are reading from a script. I mean, even with that Jerry Nadler clip that you just played, he's reading from a script, but he's outraged. So it seems like it was more political theater than not.
Well, speaking of scripts, at one point, Nadler pressed Lewandowski for volume 2, page 90. We don't know which paragraph because Nadler didn't have that part of the script in front of him, but he was trying to get Lewandowski to point a fact something in the Mueller report, which we know he had to stay basically within the confines of the Mueller report. Did we get another dramatic reading of the Mueller report?
I don't think there was anything dramatic on the side of the Democrats yesterday. I think probably the best cross-examination, if you will, was from Hank Johnson. But again, I don't think that's what the media is going to be focused on or the people are going to be focused on. They're going to see that Lewandowski was kind of a smart aleck, and he wasn't making it easy for the Democrats to move forward with their impeachment. Again, if they were thinking that Corey Lewandowski was going to deliver some kind of damaging remark against the president, they didn't get that yet. Yesterday. And so at the end of the day, what exactly did they get?
So why does Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman, see it so differently? Here's what she said at the hearing. It increases the case for impeachment. What is she looking at through her prism that is so different from what everybody else is seeing at this point on the other side of the aisle?
Well, she's looking at a mirror that tells her every day that what she says is actually important and fact. She's surrounded by an echo chamber. The fact of the matter is yesterday certainly didn't get people who are hardcore supporters of impeachment changing their position.
Sure.
And it certainly didn't get anyone who is a hardcore opponent of this business. So it's what happened down the middle. Down the middle, people were not going to be moved by what they saw yesterday. It's just a talking point.
Jason, before I let you go, we do know that there is a possibility Corey Lewandowski may run in the state of New Hampshire. And so what calculation do you think the Democrats are making? And did this help Lewandowski yesterday?
It probably didn't help Lewandowski. I think the one talking point from him that probably is going to come back to haunt him, especially since he's doing television interviews, that he has, you know, he's basically admitting that sometimes he fibs on television and he doesn't owe anyone the truth in the media. I thought ultimately he had an interesting point of they don't treat him fairly. But if you've already said that on TV, I feel like the attack ads are pretty clear what they're going to do. It's, you admitted to lying. You're not going to be honest here on the campaign trail. New Hampshire is a funky state when it comes to some of these races, so who knows what ends up happening. But to be fair, I do think Democrats would look forward to going up against Corey Lewandowski.
Democrats, again, today, you know, taking their rounds, talking about impeachment of Kavanaugh, impeachment of the president. What is the fascination with impeachment politically?
Well, I think they're trying to play into the base, and the base clearly is anti-Trump from the Democratic Party. The question is, are they doing that to a point where the folks who are moderates, who are sort of standing on the fence saying, you know what, I don't necessarily like Trump's rhetoric, but I do kind of like the direction of this country. I like that I'm making more money. I love those tax cuts. I like what's happening. Huh. And then they look to the Democratic Party. Not only are they pushing impeachment, but they're going further and further and further to the fringe left. That's just going to push them to the side of Donald Trump. So they're doing this at their own peril, ultimately.
Jason Rantz, KTTH radio talk show host, have wanted to get you on the program for a while now. Love your show. Seattle, Washington.
Thank
Good to
you.
See you. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Oh, she loves me because I was so charming and smart.
It's probably that new producer that you have that she really likes.
Don't do that. Don't take it away. She loves me.
All right. You can have
She loves me.
Except, I mean, the first time, though, that there was a moment in which she mispronounced my name.
What'd she say?
She said Jason Krantz.
Hi, Krantz.
I really like her. She's one of my favorite hosts. And here in my head, because they sent me a driver, because I'm that level, I've got that kind of status. On the way back from the Fox News studio this morning, in my head, I had her and Tucker Carlson fighting it out as who's going to, you know, get, you know, you got to pick a side, mom or dad, when during a divorce or something, like you got to go with one. I feel like they're going to be fighting over me. And then there's Dana Perino, who's also on Fox News, who likes me. And I think she's all like, well, what about me? And so I'm going to be put into this weird position where I need to just pick a side. And then I'll each tell them that they're my favorite. And I'll just go on their show and not tell the other person. So then I'll have it all to myself.
Wow, you've really thought this one out.
I literally had that conversation in my head of who was going to fight for me. No one won because I'm just so lovable. You're supposed to say, yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But I'm also just glad to connect with you, Jason Krantz.
That was a mistake.
No, that was...
She's forgiven.
I love that.
We connected. We kind of... I really actually loved her book, and I loved the interview I did with her. So check out her book on Amazon. Just look up Harris Faulkner's name, and you'll be able to get her book on paperback. 1-800-465-8770. If you liked what you heard, you can also see it and compliment my amazing hair. Text the keyword Facebook to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my Facebook page. Just click the link. It's the first post. You'll see my video. Give it a like. Give it a follow. Give it a share. Give it whatever it is you want. Give it your attention. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. I don't want to... This is an adult conversation, so parents who've got younger kids, they should probably not listen to this. Although, you know what? I would like to instill a little bit of relationship loyalty into them, because there's an interview that was done with an actor from Silicon Valley in Playboy. And I have no idea why this particular topic came up, but they asked the guy about swinging. He's a married dude in his mid-30s. I think he's 34, 35 years old. He said, I don't know how much I can say because I don't want my wife to be mad at me. Only after I got married was I like, Molly, I'm sorry, but we have to get non-traditional here. And to her credit, instead of saying, F you, I'm out, she was like, let's figure this out. To be honest, swinging has saved our marriage. I feel like if you're into swinging, you probably know that before you get married. Now, he says that you don't necessarily, at least for him, he discovered that this just wasn't for him. He said, we've got different speeds and we argue over it constantly, but it's better than feeling unheard and alone, and that you have to scurry in the shadows. By the way, it's now called being part of a lifestyle. The term swinging is old. I self-deprecatingly call myself a pervert, but that's not what it is. I just like it. I'm sexual. I'd always thought I was romantic, and that when I fall in love, that stuff fades away. It does for some years, enough to be like, I should get married and I'll be different. But it's part of me. If that's part of your being and it feels important to you, find a way to explore it, because repression sucks. And by the way, it's Thomas Middleditch. I think he's the main guy. I don't understand this at all. I do not understand this at all. Now, maybe it's because I have a big ego and the jealousy portion of it comes. I wouldn't want to be in any relationship with anybody who's willing to sleep with someone else, even if they're being open with me. But I wouldn't want to do that either.
Yeah, I don't know how this works out. Like,
how does the spouse not get jealous? I feel like we've got people with low self-esteem who pretend that they're not offended or annoyed that their spouse is hooking up with someone else or wants to hook up with someone else. I feel like the only people who agree to this, there's probably a very small percentage where this just makes sense for them, personality-wise, but I'm willing to bet that the vast majority of the people are just telling themselves, I don't think I'll ever be able to find someone else than the person I'm currently with. I don't want to ruin it. It makes me feel awful, but I'm going to go ahead and just accept it, because otherwise I'll be alone for the rest of my life. I'm willing to bet that plays a huge role in things like this. The idea that monogamy cannot exist, that we're not built for that. Oh, shut up. That is nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. Maybe the fact of the matter is you're not monogamous or don't want to be monogamous with that person because that's not the right person for you. Would you ever get into a relationship like that if your girlfriend comes up to you and goes, I love you, but kind of interested in also sleeping around? That would crush you.
Yeah, that's not cool. I don't know. I don't know how people can do that, but I don't know.
There is this movement, and it's led by socially progressive, and I don't mean ideologically speaking, but socially progressive folks who, culturally speaking, who want to redefine relationships. They didn't like the structure of relationships where the man was too much in charge and the woman was not. And so they're rethinking the way that we talk about love and marriage. And then you've got the crazy people who take advantage of that, the legitimate perverts, no matter what this guy says, who jumps involved and then tries to push it even further to one side. And I don't know how anyone can say they truly are in love with someone, go into a marriage which they're saying they want to spend the rest of their lives with one another, and then say, except, you know, on every third Thursday of the month where you give me a pass.
And there's no way that this couple right here is like, they went into the seeing eye to eye. She wasn't.
They clearly didn't, and he admits that. I mean, he takes a position, like I said in that interview, of, I thought that this would fade away, but it's just a part of me. Now, if it's a part of you, maybe don't get married.
Yeah, that's great advice, Jason.
If it's legitimately a part of you, then don't get married. I think there's clearly an importance to coupling, right? To monogamy, to a family structure that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense for you, then don't do it. The best thing you can do is not enter into that kind of relationship because, again, and he concedes it. He goes, we argue over it constantly. That doesn't sound like a healthy relationship, and it doesn't sound like the wife is that interested in it. Now, maybe they're so in love with you that they're willing to do it, or like I said, they just have low self-esteem. I don't get this, and I fully reject this idea that younger people, this is all, that this is what they want. They're just not sexually repressed like they were before. That is absolute nonsense to justify this kind of behavior. I don't think it's immoral, and that's not the position I'm taking. I'm not taking a moral position on this. I just don't understand the psyche involved with people who are okay.
Yeah,
I can't even find one person, and this dude is hooking up with everybody else, and he's married.
That wife's just got to be, you know.
I feel bad for her.
I do too. We should let her know there's somebody out there for her.
Maybe there's multiple somebodies out there for her. Maybe she's a convert. Drives me nuts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Don't forget, I've got the video of me on Fox News up at twitter.com/JasonRants or facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Just text the keyword Facebook to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a direct link.